Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about using exercise to reduce glutamate buildup in the brain. Now, why would that be important? I'll explain. It is. And a simple exercise. Also, exercising even more vigorously, regularly, at any age, can stave off Alzheimer's. Who says? Researchers, University of Kentucky. And ashwagandha, it's a root, can boost your cardiorespiratory endurance, and that's important. I'll explain that also. Prenatal vitamins. Most American women who are pregnant do not take them, but if they did, you could reduce your risk of pregnancy loss by 55%. That's from the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. And then we're going to look at an important issue that doesn't get any mainstream attention, but should, Tai Chi. You see people do it, generally not Americans, mainly people from the Orient. The Chinese mastered it, but it improves pain and well-being in patients, especially those with knee osteoarthritis, and we have a lot of those. McMaster's University researchers. And selenium, if you're deficient, is linked to deadly heart disease, and especially if you're a pregnant woman. So we don't want anything to happen there. And resveratrol combats the effects of an unhealthy diet on your muscles and a lot more on health and healing. Also today, a lot of people, in fact, the majority of Americans, are not aware of how to protect their constitutional rights. It's in the Bill of Rights. And I'm going to take on the first 10 amendments to the U.S. state constitutions and provide a scorecard on the extent of the loss of each of our rights. This is from Washington's blog, and I believe all Americans, especially progressives in this audience, will appreciate this. And then again afterwards, I'm going to ask you, were you aware of all this? Did you know this was happening? Were you ever informed by any of the media? Did you see any articles in any of the mainstream media? Did you see any of the mainstream commentaries? Even on the right, did you hear Rush Limbaugh, who's supposed to be the godfather of the conservative movement, or Rush Sean Hannity or Mark Levin? Have you heard them talking about these specific issues? And if so, what was suggested to do about it? So if we're not aware we're losing our rights, then one day we don't have rights, and one day just normal protest of anything, anything you want to protest is considered a subversive act, you say, well, hold on a second. It's guaranteed. Was at one time, but when you weren't paying attention, they took it away. Also today, continuing with another piece of information on the economy. Goods, well, that are out there being sold, not good. Really ugly. I'm going to tell you what the people on the mainstream economic shows either are unaware of, and I don't believe that, or simply it's not in their economic or ideological framework to tell you the truth. You'll get the hard truth today on that. What's happening to our economy? I believe that we're entering a major recession and it's going to a full-blown depression. Also today, the dangerous new normal of 400 parts per million, a carbon baseline, it's expected this week. And then how the Navy, and this was nowhere, the Navy is allowed to kill or injure 12 million whales, dolphins, and other marine mammals in the Pacific. How in the world, killing 12 million whales, dolphins, porpoises, and sea lions and seals across the northern Pacific Ocean over a five-year period, how is that not an important story? I'll give you that. Also, behind the $55 million Johnson & Johnson verdict on their talcum powder, there's a terrible secret. I'll reveal that secret. And Duke study finds a, quote, legacy of radioactivity contamination from thousands of fracking wastewater sites. We told everyone this was going to happen. Well, it's happened. As you see, we have a lot to share. First up, this is from the Journal of Applied Physiology, Nutrition, and Metabolism, brand new study, and it's from the University of Guelph, and that says that exercise has the potential to decrease the toxic buildup in the brain of reducing the severity of brain disorders such as Huntington's disease, and this is because of glutamate. Now, glutamate is an amino acid. It is one of the 20 amino acids used to construct proteins, and it's used by the brain to transmit signals. But too much glutamate blocks future signals and can lead to toxicity in the brain. And since the majority of the brain relies upon glutamate as the main neurotransmitter for communications between neuron cells, it is essential that glutamate is reabsorbed and disposed of to prevent blockage. And while glutamate reuptake is a normal process for healthy brains, several diseases like Huntington's and ALS and epilepsy result in either failed reuptake of glutamate or high levels of glutamate in the brain, and that can lead to unwanted, in some cases excessive, stimulation of neighboring cells, which can worsen the disease. So to help this, they found, of all things, exercise. Now, we know exercise is healthy for the rest of the body, but this study shows that it also can help with reducing the severity of brain disorders. So the takeaway message is this: no matter what you're trying to deal with, exercise is going to help. And this shows it can help the brain and detoxify. But the University of Kentucky has another study that shows that exercise at any age can stave off Alzheimer's disease. Now, different mechanisms at work here, but what they found, and this was with men and women, they were put through treadmill fitness assessments and ultrasounds of the heart, and then they received brain scans to look for blood flow to certain areas of the brain. Quote, "We set out to characterize the relationship between heart function, fitness, and cerebral blood flow, which no other study has explored to date." In other words, if you're in good physical shape, does that improve blood flow to certain critical areas of the brain? And does that improve blood flow provide some form of protection from dementia? End quote. The results show blood flow to critical areas of the brain, and so the supply of oxygen and vital nutrients was higher in those who are more physically fit. In just layman's language, this study demonstrated that regular daily exercise at any age could keep your brain younger. Okay, so, quote from the study, can we prove irrefutably that increases fitness will prevent Alzheimer's disease? Not at this point, but this is an important first step towards demonstrating that being physically active improves blood flow to the brain and confers some protection from dementia. Now, ashwagandha, ash, A-S-H, wag, W-A-G, N-A-N-D-H-A, ashwagandha. It's a root, and here's the latest study on it. Data from this study showed that ashwagandha supplementation increased cardio, that's your heart, respiratory, that's your lungs, endurance by 13%. Wow, that's terrific. So if you want to have more endurance, now mind you, who would benefit from this? Well, how about all the people with COPD and other respiratory illnesses? How about athletes? How about people who just want to have stronger hearts and better lungs and more endurance? Everybody. So that's good. Simple root. If you're a mom, according to the National Institutes of Child Health and Human Development, taking a multiple vitamin once a day can reduce the risk of losing the baby by 55% compared to not taking multiple vitamins. And that's just terrific. So take your vitamin, and that's just a simple one a day, and that can help you. Also, we found that Tai Chi improves pain and well-being in patients with knee osteoarthritis. This is from McMaster's University in Western Ontario University. Now, we know that Tai Chi is a simple meditation exercise. Some would call it a martial arts. It's kind of a combination of martial arts and meditative exercise. This was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Quote, Tai Chi improves pain and related health outcomes in patients with knee osteoarthritis, as well as standard physical therapy. So, take Tai Chi classes. It can relax you. It can de-stress you. And from Umeå University in Sweden, if you don't have enough selenium, and it's easy to get selenium, you only need 200 micrograms a day, but if you don't have enough, it's linked to deadly heart disease affecting pregnant women. So researchers have found a very close link between selenium deficiency and a cardiomyopathy, a heart disease that affects pregnant women and recent mothers. So get your selenium. And finally, in Frontiers in Physiology, there was an article about resveratrol. That's what you find in grapes and blueberries. And it can counteract the negative changes induced by high fat, high sugar diet and muscle tissue. So that's important. So the takeaway message here is, if you've been on the standard American diet, if you've had too much fat and sugar in your diet, then you would really benefit from resveratrol. I would suggest 1 to 200 milligrams a day. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come right back. We have a lot to share. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. We just like to welcome all of you. And I realize not everyone can listen every day, so you can always go to our archives. I have thousands upon thousands of my programs. And our master archivist, who's been with me, I guess, for 23 years, Sharon Pride, she's the one who keeps all track of everything. We have some that go back to 1975. Wow. Okay. So we have a lot of shows you can go back to. And if you can listen and you're out traveling and you're not near a radio station or radio or computer, you can always call a number on the telephone and listen live at noon, Monday to Friday, 5 days a week, plus Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock for the Progressive Commentary Hour, which today is going to be a really good show. I'm going to be playing you one of the best pieces. I'm going to break it, play, talk, play, talk, play, talk throughout for the full program, which may go long today, on the European Union. Things you never knew about the European Union and why it's such a corrupt organization. It's so totally worthless, dangerous. And I'm going to give suggestions. I know I have a lot of people, activists, listening from Greece. I'm going to tell you the ugly truth behind the Greek bailout and why your politicians have sold you out, and why you should get out of the European Union, and how to get out and still survive. And how we have a lot of people in England vote to get out of the European Union in June in that referendum. You won't have another chance in your lifetime to do that. So you want to know about the European Union? You want to know about GATT, NAFTA, Trans-Pacific Partnership, the World Trade Organization? That's all packed into this show I've got lined up. That's at 7 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. But here's the phone number. You can call in at any time, noon, I should say any day at noon, and listen live over the phone. 712-775-6850. 712-775-6850. Now to our environmental segment. I remember when we thought it would be disastrous to hit 300 parts per million. Now we're, this week, we're passing 400 parts per million. That's the new norm. According to Common Dreams, the planet is hurtling towards a disturbing milestone as researchers predict the southern hemisphere, quote, within days, and we passed those days and we've reached it, would have 400 parts per million of carbon, signifying that humanity has entered a whole new phase of climate impact. Quote, once it's over 400 parts per million, it won't go back. it could, and that was from Professor Paul Fraser, from the fellow of the Australia's Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization. Now, the symbolic climate threshold is expected to be recorded at the Cape Grim monitoring site, and this is what we're faced with. And that's a tipping point. Now, there are more than 30 tipping points. Some of these, our actions could help slow them down. Some we've already tipped. So no matter what we do, you're going to see the consequences. Others we could still do something about. So all the more reason to pay attention to climate change. This is from Dar Jamel from Truthout. Quote, "What if you're told the U.S. Navy is legally permitted to harass, injure, or kill nearly 12 million whales, dolphins, porpoises, sea lions, and seals across the North Pacific over the next 5 years? It is true, and over one quarter of every tax dollar you pay is helping fund it. A multi-state, internationalized citizens watchdog group called the West Coast Action Alliance tabulated numbers that came straight from the Navy's Northwest Training and Testing and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, letters of authorization for incidental, quote, takes of marine mammals issued by the National Marine Fisheries Service. A take is a kill. Again, a take is a form of harm to an animal that ranges from harassing, injuring, and killing him. And many wildlife conservationists see even takes that only cause behavior changes as injurious because chronic harassment of animals that are feeding or breeding can end up harming or even contributing to their deaths if they are driven out of habitats critical to their survival. Quote, the numbers are staggering. And that's according to Karen Sullivan, who is a former endangered species biologist. And yet no one seems to know, no one seems to be interested, and we should be. Here's a larger question. On the one hand, every single bureaucracy within the government continues to expand, have no accountability, and have the right to arrest, imprison, or harm any human being who tries to interfere or even questions the legitimacy of their actions. Think about that. I'll come back to that in a moment. This is from the Huffington Post. Quote, behind the $55 million verdict, Johnson & Johnson knew about talcum powder cancer risks since the 1970s. I remember writing articles. Oh, by the way, up on my, thank you, Sharon, because Sharon found an article, an entire issue of Caveat Emptor, Consumer Beware, the consumer, it was the consumer publication in the United States at that time. And I was the one doing most of the writing. Ralph Nader wrote for it also, by the way. And we were both writing in the same issue. And I wrote about the AMA's secret attacks against chiropractic. This is prior to those documents being dropped off at my apartment from inside the AMA headquarters and how a whole lot of court cases determined the AMA was guilty. When cleared the Supreme Court, they were found guilty. They could no longer consider chiropractic an unscientific cult. And the articles that started this whole thing, which is why I believe that the articles were dropped off at mine and Joe Lisa's apartments, why we got them, because I'd set a precedent for going after the AMA. You know, you can read that article. I think it's in the mid-1970s. That's up on our website. We just found it in the archives. But I was also at the same time writing about talcum powder and how it caused inflammation in the genital areas and should not never be used on babies. And then it was. Now back to this. It says that like the tobacco companies a generation ago, Johnson & Johnson and its cosmetics lobby have known about the link between its talcum powder and cancer for 40 years. Distorted research about the talcum cancer connection and lied to the public about the dangers. The big lie was exposed on Monday when for the second time in 3 months, jurors blasted Johnson & Johnson with an eight-figure verdict in a trial charging that the company knew that its talc-based baby powder and show-to-shower powder caused ovarian cancer. Talc was found in the ovarian tissue after a hysterectomy of a plaintiff of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And that's how this all came about. And there were 1,200 cancer lawsuits now. But here's the larger issue. Johnson & Johnson is a very profitable, multi-billion-dollar company that one or more of its products are in most Americans' homes. Now, in and of itself, that's not a problem. The problem is that when you intentionally, or with knowledge of forethought, when you are predisposed to look at the evidence and realize that we're doing something that can or will injure people, let's hide it, cover it up, hire scientists to make it all go away, and influence legislators at the federal level so the FDA doesn't come against us. And mind you, it wasn't the FDA that determined this. It's citizens that are determining. Well, what about our EPA? What about our FDA? What about our CDC? They're all completely compromised at the policy level. There are good people working in those agencies, but they're not the policymakers. The policy wonks are always the ones looking after special interests. So never use talcum powder. And if you have cancer and you've used talcum powder, then see about being a part of that class action lawsuit. So my belief is you should now boycott all Johnson & Johnson products. Why? Because they knew what they were doing was wrong, would be injurious to women or infants, and they went ahead out of greed to do this. So boycott Johnson & Johnson products. That's what I would suggest. I remember having one of the first investigative reportings on the likelihood of contamination to groundwater wells when this whole fracking business started years ago. Unfortunately, we were correct. Here is the latest from Sharon Kelly from DeSmog Blog. Quote, thousands of oil and gas industry wastewater spills in North Dakota have caused widespread contamination from radioactive materials, heavy metals, and corrosive salts, putting the health of people and wildlife at risk. Researchers from Duke University concluded in a new release peer-reviewed study. Some rivers and streams in North Dakota now carry levels of radioactive and toxic materials higher than federal drinking water standards as a result of wastewater spills, the scientists found after testing near spills. Many cities and towns draw their drinking water from rivers and streams, and though federal generally requires drinking water to be treated before it reaches people's homes, and scientists did not test tap water as part of their research. High levels of lead, the heavy metal that infamously contaminated water in Flint, Michigan, as well as the radioactive element radium, were discovered near spill sites. And then it goes on from there. The pollution was found on land as well as in the water. The soils and locations where wastewater spilled were laced with significant levels of radium, and even higher levels of radium were discovered in the ground downstream from the spill's original points, showing that radioactive materials were soaking into the ground and building up as spills flowed over the ground. The sheer number of spills in the past several years is striking. All told, the Duke University researchers mapped out 3,900 accidental spills of oil and gas water in North Dakota alone. They said it would be safe. They said that the environment wasn't going to be put at risk. They lied. And who do they have? They have their best friend, the President of the United States, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and others in the administration, the neocons. I have done a series of maybe 10 different specials, in-depth specials. These were not thrown together. Some of these took as much as a year. The latest in these specials will be aired this Friday. You will not want to miss Friday's noon show. I can assure you, you will hear stuff you have never heard. I don't care if you are an investigative reporter with a Pulitzer Prize, you're going to hear stuff you did not know. None of us knew this until someone brought it forward. How do they know? Because they were a part of the litigation team that saw the documents and were at the depositions and the discoveries. We're going to expose the true, not the false Illuminati that you see on some of the conspiracy sites, the real people, the wealth masters, and who they are. We're going to name them, what their companies are, how they work together, where they met, the dates they met, the times they met, who was the speaker, what was said, and how they conspired to take over our rights. The European Union, by the way, was just one of their projects, and they succeeded. And the Vietnam War was one of their projects. And when John F. Kennedy didn't go along, they killed him. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, as anyone knows, I do not make statements I cannot support. And being a scholar, I spend a lot of time doing research. Friday, noon, I'm devoting the entire hour to this. The people, the real government, the power behind these dancing fools that we call politicians, these sociopathic, just decrepit spiritual beings that we see talking. And whose interest they talk on? That's the people. So now, they're smart. They're smarter than most people. And they control a lot, including the media. So what happens when they decide a free society is a dangerous society? Having the right to speak and write, investigate, and bring lawsuits, not good for them. So they say, let's take away some of your rights. What are the rights they've taken away? Let's start with the First Amendment. What is the First Amendment? Most of the audience, I'm sure, knows this. It's the First Amendment protects speech, religion, assembly, and the press. Quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Good. The Supreme Court also interpreted the First Amendment as protecting freedom of association. Good. However, the government is arresting those speaking out and violently crushing peaceful assemblies, which are attempting simply to petition the government for redress. A federal judge found that the law allowing indefinite detention of Americans without due process, quote, has a chilling effect on free speech. There's also enacted laws allowing Secret Service, any member of the Secret Service, to arrest anyone protesting near the president or other designated individuals. Trouble is, there's no list of these people. And how do you know that the person that you're, if Netanyahu comes to the United States, you could be arrested for protesting him? And yet we're not told this. Well, that goes right against our First Amendment rights. Also, mass spying by NASA violates our freedom of association. Yet NASA and the president, everyone else was lying, saying, oh, we only collected some people and only their addresses or their phone numbers. Not true. Every word of every conversation by every single person using any device, every single keystroke, every single thing done, sent over the internet, faxes, cell phones, has been recorded and cataloged by person, billions of messages per day. And they've been doing this for over 14 years. So they lied. The threat of being labeled a terrorist for exercising our First Amendment rights certainly violates the First Amendment. The government is using laws to crush dissent, and it's often so bad that even the U.S. Supreme Court justices are saying that we are descending into tyranny. For example, here's what you may not be appreciative of or even aware of. The following things I'm going to share with you could get you, no matter what your background or intent, labeled as, quote, suspected terrorist by Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, and any one of 16 agencies, all with their own ideas and capacities to independently pursue you. If you take any steps to protect your privacy, that's considered now suspected terrorist. If you complain about the taste of your tap water, if you use any social media, if you're reporting on doing journalism, if you're having, if you're speaking out about any government policy, if you're protesting anything, such as participating in an Occupy or even a march against Monsanto, every single person will now be considered a suspected terrorist. If you're a member of a Tea Party, you're everyone listening who's a member of the Tea Party, you're now on a terrorist watch list. For example, the Department of Defense training manual classifies all protests as, quote, low-level terrorism, end quote. Questioning war, even though war reduces our national security, is now considered a terrorist threat. Criticizing the government's targeting of innocent civilians with drones, although killing innocent citizens with drones is one of the main things which increases terrorism. Asking questions about pollution, even at congressional hearings where you've been invited and are testifying under oath. That is considered a terrorist act. Paying cash at an internet cafe, asking questions about Wall Street's problems, holding gold, stocking up on more than 7 days of food, having bumper stickers saying things like, know your rights or lose them, investigating factory farming, talking to police officers, wearing a hoodie, driving a van, being frustrated with mainstream ideologies, being a libertarian, liking the founding fathers, being a Christian, being anti-tax, anti-regulation, being anti-nuclear, believing in conspiracy theories, and also supporting political movements of autonomy, being anti-global. If you're suspicious of centralized federal authority like the Federal Reserve, if you believe in the need to be prepared for any future problems, that's considered terroristic. Opposing surveillance. Now, all that is a matter of actual statute. It's in their manuals, and then they automatically put these mindless bureaucrats to work trolling all of the internet and all of the every demonstration, and then tagging you. And First Amendment rights are especially chilled when power has become so centralized, concentrated, that the same agency with spies on all Americans also decides who should be assassinated. Second Amendment, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And we see, well, let me just put it this way. What did Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia, Mao's China, Burma, when it was Burma instead of Myanmar, what did all these have in common? They confiscated all weapons. Would there have been a different outcome? Oh, yeah. And yet they, whether you agree or disagree to purchase an arm, the right to have an arm, I think, is important. And if they tell you about how many Americans are killed each year by guns, ask them the following. How many of those Americans were on meds? 95% of all mass murders in the last 20 years have been on psychiatric medication. Why has that never been a discussion? It's always about the gun, not about the brain chemical altered state that a pharmaceutical drug could put you in to want you to motivate you to want to kill people. And one of the side effects of the psychiatric medications is mania and wanting to hurt yourself or others. So whether you are want to debate the Federalist or the Anti-Federalist, just remember what would happen if we were completely disarmed. Now, you don't have to worry about the super rich, the mega rich. They have people who are armed who protect them. They have bodyguards. And your academic community and your professional class, they're not armed. And your upper middle class, they're not armed. And your working class, they're not armed. But there's 65 million poor working people who are armed. That's who they fear. The Third Amendment. The amendment prohibits the government from forcing people to house soldiers. Quote, no soldier in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. A recent lawsuit by a Nevada family, covered by Mother Jones, by the way, talked about that. And you have to understand what they can do when they enter your house. It's the same thing electronically. So when the government comes into your house and is on your computer, when every new television, smart television, has a camera and recording device, they're in your house. They're in your, when you're sitting at your computer right now, they're watching every single thing you do, they're watching. So they're in your house. And we're not smart enough to realize that maybe that's not a good idea. The Fourth Amendment prevents unlawful search and seizure. And the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath and affirmation. But the government is spying on everything we do without any real benefit or justification. By one estimate, the average American going just through their normal daily living will be monitored, surveyed, and spied upon and tracked more than 20 times in a 24-hour period by corporate and government eyes and ears. And then you have the Fifth Amendment, which is the due process of law in eminent domain and double jeopardy and grand jury. Quote, no person shall be held to answer for capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of indictment by a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or the militia. But the American government has shredded the Fifth Amendment by subjecting us to indefinite detention and taking away our due process. Did someone forget? Call Chris Hedges. If you forgot, he will enlighten you. We no longer have habeas corpus. We no longer have due process. The President of the United States is now able to target any individual or group of individuals. They can arrest you. They can imprison you. You will have no rights whatsoever. They can kill you if they wish to and be held not accountable at all. For example, American citizens are being detained in Guantanamo, like conditions in Chicago. Do you remember the place until it was recently uncovered that for decades had been used where they would arrest people, but they wouldn't be officially arrested? They'd be held in secret. Not their lawyers or family, anybody would be told. They'd be beaten. Some were killed. Yeah, well, what happened to the people doing that in Chicago? How about nothing? The Sixth Amendment guarantees the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. Okay, that's good, unless it's by the government. Then it's not good, because they don't need a judge and jury. They are the judge and jury, and you have no right to defend yourself. Subjecting people to indefinite detention or assassination obviously violates the Sixth Amendment right to a speedy and public trial. In both cases, the defendant is, quote, disposed of without ever receiving any trial at all. And how many people, including a gentleman yesterday who has spent the last 40 years in prison for crime that he did not commit, have been freed? Indefinite detentions usually don't occur where the alleged crime occurred, but at a black site. And more commonly, the government prosecutes cases based upon secret evidence that they don't show to the defendant, and sometimes don't even show to the judge. The government uses secret evidence to spy on Americans, prosecute leaking or terrorist charges, and secret witnesses are being used in some cases, so you don't have any opportunity to know who's charging you with what. Can I see the person who's making these allegations? No. Can I see the evidence against me? No. Can I have a lawyer? No, you can have nothing. You're a pawn of the state, and if the President of the United States, Barack Obama, wishes to kill you, he will kill you. He'll have one of his agents, not him. Wouldn't look good when he's shooting basketball. Same time, be saying, hey, but every day people are being killed around the world by drones. Is there any evidence that they're actually a terrorist? No. If you're a certain age or perceived to be a certain age, any way of knowing if a person's a certain age? No, there's not. But kill them anyhow, friendly fire doesn't count. How about the Eighth Amendment? Prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. We'll forget that. We've been carrying out widespread torture for at least the last 13 years in other countries, in black ops. And so that's violated. The Ninth Amendment, which provides that people have other rights as if they aren't specifically listed in the Constitution, and we're assumed to have no rights except what the government deems us. So here's the idea. We live in, and then, of course, the Tenth Amendment, which is provides the powers not specifically given the federal government, are reserved to the states and individuals. Well, the government then says they have the rights above and above all others. So here's the point of the exercise. Every single one of our first 10 amendments have been violated grossly to the point where now it's considered the new norm. It's normal to have a van go up and down the streets that will look into your home or apartment. They can do it with drones as well and are doing this. And with this, it's been out there for at least 15 years. but it's much more sophisticated today. They can see everything you're doing, hear everything you're doing, but do you know at the same time you're being irradiated? That's a high beam of radiation that's able to capture this, capture your image. And so, you know, a van could be outside, and you could be inundated with radiation and not know it. So that's using you as if you were a human guinea pig. How many millions of Americans have been exposed to high levels of radiation, more than that they would normally receive in their entire lifetime, by people who are on the street spying on them? And yet when asked to turn over information about their spying from these vans, they refuse to. So we have an out-of-control, totalitarian police state, and yet people are walking around like this is Germany, Berlin, 1936, and it won't get worse. How do you know? Well, we just don't believe it will. Think again. I'm Gary Nall. Your thoughts on us becoming a police state? 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. That's our talkback number. I'm concerned about it, and I believe that we should start to expose it wherever possible and speak out on it. And by the way, one other thing, the Justice Initiative is asking, they're having it 5:30 tonight at the Fox Theater, boycott Qatar Airways. Why? Because a group of pilots and Alliance of Workers and Atlanta Jobs with Justice and flight attendants are going to be in attendance, but you could boycott simply by not flying Qatar. Why? Because Qatar Airways is owned by the Nation of Qatar, which is gay, lesbian, horrific. If you're gay in their country, you'll end up in prison and beaten for at least 5 years. They're anti-labor unions. You cannot organize any labor union in Qatar. It's illegal. And yet immigrants make up 90% of the workforce. And upon entering the country, their passports are seized and the migrant workers are often forced into slavery. And those who protest or try to protest are thrown in prison. Well, Qatar Airways employs 40,000 people, and workers are forced to live in a company property where their behavior is monitored, and female employees who get pregnant or married are terminated immediately. So just remember, when you're flying on one of their airlines, you're supporting the monarchy. They're terrorists. They support terrorism. Don't support them. I'm Gary Nall. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. Sugar and spice. Now let's go over. I promised we'd take some of your calls. Let's say hello to Gordon from Queens. Hi, Gordon.
Hey, Gary, thank you for taking my call. Yesterday's Metro section, today's New York Times, I was quoted about the George Orwellian bulldozing the dunes in Montauk Point, Long Island.
Yes.
Thank you to your language. I was telling them that they are now on a government watch list.
Yes, go ahead, Gordon.
And that there's a little interference, but I wanted you to know that thanks to your program, I've been able to use the language that these are our neighbors here are now considered domestic terrorists for protesting the Army Corps of Engineers bulldozing the dunes, and that they are considered to be on a government watch list and domestic terrorists. And my neighbors and friends are incredulous and telling me, oh, no, there's nothing to worry about. And I appreciate your language, Gary.
Also, they don't have to trust my language. All they have to do is look at WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks actually provided documents that showed Homeland Security had snipers on buildings in Houston aimed at the Occupy movement. Every single Occupy meeting in the United States, at every single college campus, in every city, every demonstration, they had infiltrators and provocateurs. They were monitored, everything, their leaders, everything about their background, everything was completely detailed. You know, this is not the first time. And unfortunately, this has been going on for a long time, where the government and its agents will infiltrate groups to find out what they're going to do, how they're doing it, who their leaders are, and then try to sabotage it. So a lot of people are just naive when it comes to understanding how severe this encroachment upon our rights is.
And I'd also like the listeners to know that Nixon and Kissinger both looked out at the Washington Mall at the protesters against the Vietnam War, and they said, it's over.
They were right. And we have to get to that point where it's not just Chris Hedges or 50 or 100 people being arrested with an occasional celebrity. It's when you have 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 people. And I believe that that will happen later this year when the Nation of Islam joins with millions of African Americans who've been exploited and denigrated and takes that protest about the vaccines, the MMR vaccines, causing a 220%, 320% increase in autism in children, African American boys under 36 months of age. And when they take that protest to Washington, then you'll start to see the people reacting differently. You're going to have a huge march to get people's attention. And thus far, the media won't give the credibility, legitimacy to any of the demonstrations, what they want to do. And by the way, I'll finally say this. I remember at Indian Point, we had Fox, we had Bloomberg, we had a lot of different media there. And there were those of us who were about to speak, and we had about 1,200 people from this audience there. And I saw some people going out in the road to lay down. And on over, I said, what are you doing? Well, you know, we'll get their attention. I said, no. I said, friend, if your point is to destroy the quality of all the people came here, had something to say about Indian Point, why it should be closed, you're going to succeed because the media will come and watch you being dragged off by the police and you screaming, and no message of what we're here to do will actually get through. Now, you're either provocateur and are staging this to take away from the real message, or you're just misguided, in which case just go across the street. So I took the microphone and I said, that person, if anyone wants to get themselves arrested, go ahead and do so now, because you have nothing to do with what we're here about. We're here to bring an important issue to people's attention. So the fact that almost every demonstration is going to have provocateurs to draw attention to their extremism instead of the legitimacy of the message, just remember that. You can't find a demonstration in the United States that doesn't have provocateurs and agents in it. That's how big this has gotten, where that's how fearful they are of us. Fortunately, we were able to get our message out. There were no arrests. And our message is what made the news, not arrest. So if you think making an arrest, getting arrested, is what you want the message to be, then you better go back and do a little better read of history and social movements. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.
Well, I've got two lovers and I ain't ashamed. Two lovers and I love them both the same. Let me tell you about my first lover. He's sweet and kind and he's mine, all mine. He treats me good like a lover should and makes me love. Let me tell you about